before you, God, and the name that's above every name, the only name that makes any difference is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we plead his blood, God, against every unclean and foul spirit that might, God, be seeking to hinder tonight, and even pleaded against the spirit of man, that, Lord God, the Spirit of God might have liberty. As we were talking this morning, your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and men take that often to mean that they have liberty, but, well, most of all, we want you to have liberty. We want you, God, to have our hearts, God, so that you can, God, squeeze them a little bit. God, let us sense the burden of God for these lost souls that we're wanting to reach for your glory. God, help us, Lord. Squeeze us, Lord, for what you have us do. Lord, I know one thing. Each year it's more. And Lord God, I pray you show us what that more is. Whatever it may entail, whatever it may be, God, help each one to be willing and help each one to see, God, the need, and help each one to hear your voice, Lord, in their heart. And Lord, to obey and to do exactly what you'd have them do. God, the greatest blessing comes in full surrender. And Lord, for that soul that's here tonight that's not fully surrendered, I pray, God, you bring them to that point. And Lord God, for that soul that's here that might be lost, I pray you open their eyes that they might realize where they're at. And God, realize their need of a Savior. And Lord, they might be drawn and Lord God, saved for the glory of God. Now, Lord, the best thing I know how to give this vessel, I ask you to fill it to overflowing. And allow the overflow, please, to meet the need of each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's good to be here. Man, it's good to see the house full. Good to see our friends, amen, from Black Creek. Or if you're, amen, prefer Black Creek.
I forgot something.
You did.
The children are going to go downstairs now.
Children, you're going downstairs now. What's the age limit? Any age limit? Maybe I'll go along. Amen.
If you're a child, you go downstairs. You know if you're a child or not.
And it's great to see Pastor Hain. He's my hero, amen. I still do, Dr. Don Green. He's the holiest man I've ever met. And now I've met Pastor Hain, I call him the second holiest man I've ever met, amen. Dear man, appreciate him. Appreciate what Brother Asquith. And use them as an illustration all over the place. Amen. A good illustration. There are some things folks could learn from them. Amen. I know Brother Haynes there to keep you in balance. But Brother, I'm telling you, there's some things folks could learn in dealing with people. They just get around that man right there.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good.
And he's taught me a lot, helped me a lot. I want to ask my daughter, Christy. This is my oldest daughter, number one picking name below Mia. In other words, she's our oldest daughter. And what we're going to do tonight is, can you hear me if I go over here? Can you hear her if I go over here? Maybe I should turn one of these on?
You can, yeah. Press and hold the button until the light turns on.
Which one? There it is. Oh, the light went out.
Try it again.
Comes on green. There it goes.
There it is, yeah.
Amen. Anybody home? The lights are on.
Amen.
What we're going to do, you know, the theme is what?
Carry the light.
To carry the light. You know, it's one thing we don't ever want to do. We never want to let the light go out.
Amen.
Now, can you control the lights from back there? Or do we need somebody over here? Because I'm going to have a point where I want the lights off completely. But at first, if we just kind of turn them down like we had them earlier. Because there's something I want to show you. You know, not everywhere has light bulbs. Amen. When we went to New Guinea, the light was a fire. And the fire was the most important thing in the jungle. Why? Because that light, that fire gave light so that they could read. And many of them couldn't, but after we left, there were many ladies who could read the Bible to their family because my wife taught them how. And then there were a bunch of men that we trained in the Bible Institute
And they would go home at night and they would read, amen, after a day's work in the garden and whatever else they had to do. But what you would see them doing is you would see them normally with something that was a little more like a coffee can. Of course, they couldn't do that now. The coffee cans are all plastic. Amen. But in that coffee can, you'd see them on their way in the morning out to the garden. And you'd pass them by. Maybe I passed them by many times as I would walk the jungle trails. And you would hear conversation something like this. You making one?
Yeah, well,
you got him by, huh?
Yeah.
You got him with?
Yeah, I have a roll of cooking gun.
You cooking gun, huh?
Yeah.
You making noodle, I got it.
Yeah.
What we just said, amen, I'll give you the translation so you know we're not just speaking tongues, amen. I asked her where she's going. That'd be a common conversation. And she said, I'm going to the garden. I said, well, what are you going to the garden for? She said, I'm going to burn the garden off with the fire. Now, do you see fire in that? It came from the house. Now, she'll get out to the garden, and immediately she would begin to blow on that. She'd pour it out on the ground, begin to blow on that pile of ashes. And this is what you'd see. Blow on the fire. That fire would take shape. And now she can now burn off the garden. Say, why does she got to do that? Well, you know, we would use a plow. But when you don't have a tractor and a plow, you use the next best thing. The first thing you do is you burn off all the foliage and all the grass. And then you bring in the pig and you let him do the plow. Amen. He looks in there with his nose and he gets that thing all, you know, churned up. And then you go in with hand stone implements a lot when we first got there. And they would take those and chop up the clods. And amen. But this fire was then used to burn it off. And then they would let it die down back to the ashes. As it died down on the ashes, this lady, of course, this thing on her head is called a Balaam. Now, this is just a little one, but you'll see ladies with Balaams. Turn sideways. And you would see them with Balaams all up here. I've seen 3, 4, and 5 Balaams on the head of a woman. Say, why that many? Well, this one would hold the cow, the next one would hold the sugar cane, the next one would hold any vegetables they might have as far as, you know, a lettuce or something like that. They call it kumu. And then the last Balaam always carried one thing very precious. Anybody want to guess what it was? The baby. Amen. And she's got all this weight on her while the man has his axe over his shoulder. And he's going on home. Right? That's the way it is there. But you would pass them by and you would look at the lady. And again, you would say, you make him one. You go to the house. You got him one. Blow on him.
Don't stop
him by. Buy him, but make him one. You better cook him, guy. Now you better kiss him something about life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Go ahead. She's going to the house. She's going to blow on the fire again. Now it's ashes again still. You say, oh, man, it's just ashes. You give me what they can get out of a bucket full of ashes.
Yeah.
We had a guy burn his house down with a bucket full of ashes. Amen. But she began to blow on the fire, and she blew on the fire at night. Now, if we could we turn those lights out? Imagine this is the only light you have in the house. We are blessed in America to have electric lights.
Amen.
And imagine now you're in a hut that has no windows, and it's grass, and the roof is about a foot thick. So light doesn't get through. The only light in that hut at night would be the light of the fire. And you see, it's so important that that fire stays in a condition where it can be readily blown upon. Now, they would often need the fire. We turn the lights back on, please. Thank you. They would often, in the fire, use a copper pipe. And they would blow, because why do they do that? Because the fire's down there in the floor. And that way they don't have to get down so far. And they can take that pipe and blow on it. And the thing starts to glow. And as it glows, they throw a little grass on there, they throw a little light sticks on it, and that fire starts to take off. And then they build that fire back again. Now listen, in that fire pit was already some ashes from the morning fire. And you'd be amazed what they can do with the ashes. In just a few minutes, that thing, now all those ashes are warm, that fire is burning, and they take their cow-cow, which looks like a sweet potato, all kind of. It doesn't taste like one, though. Amen. So, one bite and drink a gallon of water, right? But they take that cow-cow, and they shove that thing down into the ashes, down under the fire, and it could, and it bit that thing right there in the fire. Now, you see how important it is to keep the fire burning?
Yep.
And listen, matches are a premium. I've been in villages of over 150 people where there was one match in the entire village. It's very important to keep your fire burning.
That's good.
Amen. It's very important to keep the light on.
That's right.
It's very important to, amen, to keep the thing where it's viable to be used at a moment's notice.
That's good. That's right.
Amen. If they let that fire go out, they may not eat that night. You see how it is. Very important to keep the light burning. Take your Bibles and go to Acts 26. Do I have a bottle of water in here? Go to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Thank you. The text verse, Acts 26. Now, since the pastor let me know what the text was going to be for the meeting, I've been meditating, praying, and I've got more messages out of this verse than I can preach this week. It's amazing what's in this book when you look, amen.
That's good.
And when you read and reread and meditate and think and talk to God about it and beg God, I want God, I don't want to just get up there and blow off steam. I don't want to just get up there and show them how smart I am. I'm not very smart, amen? But I want God, I want to be able to get in this thing, and I want to give them something from your word. And Lord, you know, this is the verse that they've chosen or you've given to them, and I want it to be real, amen? So tonight we're just going to take a look at the first phrase. I'll read the whole verse. Amen, Acts chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. There's a lot there, but I want to look tonight at this very first phrase, to open their eyes. Now, you know, this is Mission Conference, and I know you've already been praying, many of you have, about what God would have you do for missions this year at Grace Bible Independent Baptist Church. Amen? And so many of you may already have the answer from God. And, you know, you may think you have it, and somewhere this week God will change it. Let God be God in your life.
Amen.
Amen? Listen, it's not about what you can do for missions. It's about what God wants to do through you.
That's good.
God will give more through you and he will ever give to you.
Yep.
Why? Because if he gives it to you, he'll spend it on you.
Yep. Yeah.
But if he gives it through you, it'll go to the missionaries. It'll go to the work of God. It'll go to others in the family of God. It'll go to further the cause of Christ.
That's right.
And so, to open their eyes, I've meditated, thought about this thing. And if we're going to open anybody's eyes, I mean, look at us. I mean, what a bunch, huh? Imagine us opening somebody's eyes.
Yeah.
But hey! It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. Amen. It doesn't matter what your job is. I'm here because of a farmer who's sitting back there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, you don't have to be a preacher to serve God.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen. You don't have to be a missionary to serve God. Listen, you don't have to be real smart to serve God. Amen. Yeah. All you got to be is willing to serve God.
Amen.
That's right.
As we said last night, God does not care about your ability. God wants your availability. Will you make yourself available to God for the will of God to do what God wants you to do? If you'll do that, God will take all the abilities that He's already put in you and groom them and just shine them up a little bit and get them to where they'll work for His glory, and He'll put you in the right place at the right time to do the right job for the right person.
Amen.
And you'll go back and go, wow, how'd that happen? God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to first have your eyes open. Think about that a minute.
Yep.
Are your eyes open tonight? I mean, the pastor made a beautiful map up here. You made it, right?
Most of it.
Most of it?
Yeah.
Had some help. But it's beautiful. Imagine not being able to see that. You know what we've got in our churches tonight? We've got bunches of people with eyes wide open physically who can't see that.
Yeah.
They can't see the need. They can't see the across the street, down the street, down the road, over the hill, amen, down the store. There's somebody there that needs Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yes, sir.
How are you going to open their eyes if your eyes aren't open?
Uh-huh.
Remember the fellow said, I see men as trees walking? Mm. Well, if that's all you see, you're missing the boat. Mm. Because they're much more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
In every one of those men is a soul that's going to go somewhere.
Yep.
And it's our job, amen, as God's children, amen, to be the light.
Yes.
To carry the light. To have our eyes open. Listen, I'm telling you, I've had times in my life where I've had to pray, God, open my eyes to the need around me.
Amen.
You heard the saying, right? You can't see the forest for the trees. Listen, you can get so busy in the work of God, amen, Brother John, where you can't see what you really
need. That's exactly right.
Yeah, sir.
And doing a good thing, serving God, but get so busy, amen, and so wrapped up in it, and so concerned about it, amen, that you just can't see the need.
Yeah.
And sometimes God has to grab you right by the neck of his shirt and say, whoa, slow down a minute. Take a look here. I want to show you something. Amen. We need our eyes open. Listen, if we're going to do this thing efficiently and effectively for God, we need our eyes open.
Yep.
And we need to see wide open what God really wants us to do. And really see where He wants us to apply what He's given us.
Yep.
Now, those of you that weren't here last night, we explained how God's given each one of us gifts. He's given each one of us talents. Amen. Some of us, we came up short. All I can say. But it's not up to us to say how many talents we get.
That's right. That's good.
It's up to God. God's your creator. God, amen. God, listen to me. I don't care who you are here tonight. Amen. Young, old, man, woman, boy, girl. God created you for His purpose.
Yep.
Amen.
And you know what He expects out of you? His purpose.
Amen.
Deep, isn't it? That's what He expects. And listen, when we go about it our way, we're cheating God and we're cheating ourselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, amen, God intended for us to do a certain thing, and if we don't do that thing, amen, then we're cheating God. And if we don't do it, amen, in His hands, where we're surrendered to Him. Listen, it's not about how much power you got. Some of us are getting older, and we got to walk with canes, and we got to wear eyeglasses and hearing aids, amen, and all them sort of things. Hey, listen, man. Hey, it gets a little harder to do things, physically speaking. But thanks be to God, I learned a long time ago, put yourself in the hand of the Maker and let Him do it through you. Man, will He ever do things.
Yeah, that's good.
You got to first have your eyes open, just like Paul did there in Acts 9.
Mm.
And sometimes that takes knocking you off your high horse.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Paul was on the high horse.
Yeah.
And God knocked him off. And that's where Paul got a real rude awakening.
Yeah.
In fact, God left him with darkness for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Amen. I don't like it dark. I'm a child of light. Now, afraid of the light? No, but I turn a flashlight on if there's not a light on. Amen. I find a way to light it up somehow. Why? Because I can't see. And I like to see what's around me. I like to defend me if something's coming at me. Amen. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says this, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." Arise. Man, don't just sit there with the light. There's folks around you that need the light. Don't just, amen, keep it to yourself. You know, the light, amen. Let that thing shine. What did Jesus say there, Matthew 5:16? "Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven."
Right.
Let that thing out, man. Let God live through. Are you saved in here tonight? If you are, you ought to be letting God live through you.
Yeah,
come on. Amen. You ought to be letting that light come through you. You ought to be a channel where everywhere it goes, it just shines. And people are looking at you going, "What is it about you, man? You're different." I tell you what it is. It's Jesus. Amen.
That's right.
And then, to have your eyes open, you're going to have a real head-on, face-to-face with God. Just like Paul did. That's what we need. And amen. You know what the church, you know what the country needs and the church needs right now, today? A real head-on, face-to-face with God.
That's right.
That sets some things straight. That gets some things back where they ought to be, huh, brother?
Yes.
Amen. In other words, listen, we were in there praying. You could hear men praying and crying out to God, saying, "Look, God, this ain't about us. We're not here tonight because we want to, you know, puff ourselves up. We're not here tonight because we want to, you know, make anybody in this building, you know, look super Christian. We're here tonight, why? For the glory of God."
Amen. That's right.
"And to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to have folks drawn to Him so they can understand from Him what He wants of them."
Yeah.
To open their eyes, we've got to have our eyes open. You know what else you'll find? You get close to Him. Listen, so those of you have been saved a while, let me ask you a question. Does it seem like you've made it anywhere all these years you've been saved? Or you still look, every time you get a look at the Lord, you just feel dirty. You get next to the light, you know what happens? All of a sudden you start noticing. Got this stuff on me.
Yeah. Come on.
You get next to the light of God, you'll start to realize that you're still a dog.
Mm-hmm.
A Gentile dog. Mm-hmm. And you'll begin to realize that without God, you're nothing.
That's right.
And if anything gets done in your life, it's got to be Him.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I see folks, they think they got it all together. They got every I dotted and every T crossed. You know what they can't see, preacher? The T's crossed, but it's kind of crossed about like this.
Yeah.
You know? And they can't see, amen, their own dirt. You know? Listen, there's enough dirt on every one of us that are saved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That we could be working on it for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
The old timers that I got to be around when I was young all said this: "God will leave enough fleas on you so you know you're a dog."
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that game, Whack-a-Mole?
Yeah.
You know, you hit it here, and it popped up over here. You hit it there, and it popped up over there. You hit it there, and it popped up back here. Hit it there, and you just keep. That's the way it is, man.
Yeah.
This flesh, I'm going to borrow Dr. Don Reed, again, my hero. The flesh is wicked, wicked, wicked. Without God, we're a mess.
That's right. Man.
And we need Him.
Mm-hmm.
We need Him to open our eyes. problem I see as I travel is most Christians can't see their own dirt. Man, I'm not like him. I believe the Bible says something about that. You know, comparing ourselves among ourselves with what?
Not wise.
Not wise. Amen. And as a dog that couldn't recognize their own fleas. You ever notice that old dog, man, he's in fleas? You know. Brother, I see young people. And I've heard the conversations. What do you think about a Christian tat? Y'all know what that is? It's a tattoo. How do those two words go together? You got that right. They don't. Christian and tat. That's sort of like Christian rock music. When you know what rock music really is, and you want to put the name Christian on it, it's filthy. And on it goes. They want, what is it? Oh, and here's this one. And you know they have this new non-alcoholic drink you can drink. I've been drinking it for years. It's called water. Amen. I've never been drunk on it one time. I did have somebody warn me one time I drink too much, though, and I might have heart trouble. I didn't know you could, you know, drink yourself to death on water. Oh, you know, see, I'm a Christian, so I don't want to, you know, look too much like the world. No, but you want to look just enough like them so you still stink.
Yeah. Come on.
You want to look just enough or smell enough like them so that, you know, the world can be noticed. Why would you want to do that? Man, if you are saved, you ought to smell like heaven, man.
That's right.
You ought to smell like something somebody would want, amen?
That's right.
I mean, take a bath. It's good, amen? And if that ain't enough, splash on a little stinky stuff, you know? Make it smell good, whatever it takes. Why? Because, listen, man, we are another kind of people. Mm-hmm. That book says we are peculiar people.
Yeah.
Amen. And that doesn't mean weird. Though some of us are. But young people can't recognize their own fleas. They grew up in a Christian home. Brother John, you and I didn't. I mean, we didn't have that opportunity, sir. I mean, man, we came up the hard way. And I wouldn't recommend it for nobody, but I'll tell you something I think ought to go back and try it some. Because they get so far out in left field, amen, with all their stuff, that they're looking at the world and they cannot see that the world is different. And the stuff they want to do is chained to the world like it's got handcuffs on.
Come on.
And if they got into it, they'd be in those same handcuffs smacked down by the world.
That's right.
And can I just tell you, your eyes aren't open if that's you? Why would you want to have a hairstyle that looks like the world? Amen? I mean, why would you want to be confused with some rock idol? Why would you want to be confused with some country singer? I mean, I grew up, I'm from the mountain over that way. I'm not far from here. Unless you, which way you go, it depends. But I'm here to tell you, I grew up on it. I remember driving down the road listening to WWVA as a kid. And that was a big one around here. That's before Nashville got big. I got saved and all that stuff became foreign to me.
Amen. That's good.
It's like right now, my mouth is dry. I gotta have water. That country music went dry. I had to have water.
That's good, amen.
There's a difference. If you can't see it, you need your eyes open.
Amen.
Maybe you need a good dose of salvation.
That's good.
Man, when I got saved, I mean, it was like, and I didn't, listen,
I didn't have to have anybody come to me and say, now you need to put that music away.
That's right.
That's wicked. No. I'd turn it on, the Holy Ghost in me would say, and he said, this stuff's got to go. Listen, man, I got saved on a Saturday night. Amen. 249 Spire Avenue, Goldsboro, North Carolina, Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. 8 years after he gave me the gospel. And there I lay, man. And the next morning I woke up and I wanted to go to church. Amen. I went to church and spent all day there with the man of God and a King James Bible. Amen. Got all done with all day and I went home. Now my wife and I were separate. I told you earlier. She left me. I don't blame her. I tried to, but I couldn't figure out how. I went home that Sunday night. I put the key in the door. I pushed the door open, and as the door cracked open, the Holy Ghost said to me, that liquor's got to go. So what'd you do, preacher? I went immediately to all the liquor bottles and I went,
amen.
So what's that? Rinsing out the bottle? I don't want anybody getting drunk smelling it. Mm-hmm. Put the lid on, put it in the garbage bag. Did the next one. Went to the refrigerator, got the beer cans out. Amen. Popped them, blah, 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 rinsed them out, blah, 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 threw them in the bag. Got all done. Lord said, now, them cigarettes got to go. Okay, Lord. Threw them down the toilet, flushed the toilet, threw the wrapper in the bag, until they were all gone. And by then, I had gotten into dope a little bit, and the Lord said, the dope's got to go. I dug it out, flushed it down to John, watched it go bye-bye, and was glad to watch it go.
Amen.
Something inside of me was singing glory to his name.
Yes.
And you want to play with it?
Come on.
Why? That stuff wicked! It's the world! It'll ruin you!
Amen.
It will.
It'll take all your brain cells, wrinkle them up, and fry them! We've got to get their eyes open. The only way we can get their eyes open is to have ours open.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Isaiah 42:7 said to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house.
Yes.
Man, I'm telling you, you want something glorious? Get involved in that right there. Hair, hide, and all. Lock, stock, and barrel from head to toe. Get involved in it. Everything you've got. Just put the whole thing in. Here you go, God. Take me, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Oh, man, God might send me to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. They need people there.
Yeah.
I got a preacher friend. He was so afraid to make Romans 12:1-2 a reality in his life. Because he knew God was going to send him to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. And they eat people there. He's never been in Africa once in his life. The will of God was not for him to go there. Now me, the night I surrendered, I said, God, I'm done. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen. And I meant it. And I looked toward the mission field. And I figured I was going to die an old man on the mission field. Unless they ate me first. But I was careful who invited me to supper. And I went to New Guinea. How many of y'all ever read Peace Child? You know what I was expecting when I got there, don't you? I was expecting to be invited for supper, and I was going to be supper. We got off the plane there at Jackson Airport. Back then, you had to get off and walk down onto the tarmac. And I'm looking across the tarmac and out through the airport. And amen. And it's like, I can't speak the language.
My sponsor told me, just get here. When you get here, you can learn the language from the people, and that'll endear them to you, and that is the best way. He was right. But I couldn't speak the language, and John Gray, who was supposed to be there to help me, had to come back to the States because he had his eye cut by a rascal. Nobody there to greet me, nobody there to meet me. And it hit me, God, I don't speak their language. What in the world am I going to do? And Lord, they eat people here. That's going through my mind. And I'm looking up and down this row of taxi cabs, and I'm thinking, oh man, Lord, you got to give me a taxi driver that speaks English. I didn't know that 90% of Port Moresby spoke English. I walked over to this guy, and I said, a little fire plug of a guy about that high. He's leaned up against his cab. It was a little four-door Toyota pickup, a little tiny one. And I said, can you get me and all them women and all that luggage in this thing and get me to the guest house? He said, sure, where do you want to go? I said, praise God. He looked at me like, you're weird. I said, man, you speak English. That answered my prayer. Amen. And God began to do a work. Before we left, there were 6 churches with pastors we personally wanted to train. Today, those 6 churches have started 25 new ones. Amen. On their own. Yeah. Without me. See, that's what you're supposed to do, yeah. Missionaries.
Yeah.
You're supposed to work yourself out of a job.
That's right.
And that's what they taught me to do, and I worked myself out of a job. And man, then God said I wasn't going back. How in the world? Wait, Lord, that job, how? And God said, well, you worked yourself out of a job. What else do you want? I got something else for you. Amen. We went to Africa with a man that I trained and helped him get a church off the ground. And little while after that, he trained a man to take his place, and he went somewhere else and started 2 more churches. He got known. This guy just passed away a couple months ago. He was known in Kenya. The chief of the Maasai tribe. The Maasai tribe that I'm told is the wildest tribe in all of Africa, let alone Kenya. And Brother David Carrots got a guy from the tribe come to him and said, I need to take you with me. I need you to come with me. My chief wants to talk to you. He said, why? He said, well, we'll go talk to the chief and find out. He just sent me to get you. So David goes with the person and went back. They stood in front of the chief. And David looked at the chief and he said, why me? Why'd you pick me? He said, because you're known as the Kenyan man who makes sense of the Bible. And we Maasai need that sense.
Amen.
What happened? The lights got turned on.
Amen.
Their eyes got opened. And they began to see their need. Amen. People said, I just don't get faith promise. Try it once. Try it once. I've had preachers say, oh, faith promise, that's not of God. I said, then you haven't seen it scripturally.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
If you'll let me, I can show it to you scripturally.
Yeah.
And it is a scriptural principle.
That's right.
And then you haven't seen it practically in people who believe what they're reading. Man, when people believe what they read and they practice that very thing right there, God begins to do a mighty work.
Amen.
And amen, that a bunch of more people get their eyes open.
Yep.
And all over the world, listen, God has given me the privilege to go back where I've been. In every place I've been, right back to even when I was over in Bradford, Pennsylvania, Brother Joel. And God let me meet a young... That, remember the day we were playing over there taxiing?
Amen.
And amen. And we were playing away. And I got all done playing. And I went back to sit down. And this fella, bald-headed fella, man. Tall fella. Big, round face. Comes up. He gets right down about that far from my face. And he says, you don't remember me, do you? I said, man, you look familiar, but I can't place your name. He said, well, you ought to know me. I'm Todd. You led me to Christ at 12 years old at the altar. You were my pastor in Bible Way Baptist Church. I said, I know you now. He said, preacher, I just wanted to say thanks. It stuck. Amen. And I've had that happen all over. My son-in-law sitting right there, him and I went back to New Guinea back in 07. And he had to go get his passport for a certain thing. So I stood at my wall to the back of the bank and began to talk to a fella. And this fella was a Widu man. I discerned by looking at his face. My men taught me how to figure that out with New Guineans. And I said, that's a Widu man. So I began to speak to him in the Widu tongue. He said, you know my tongue. You know my language. I said, yeah, a little bit. I've lost some of it. I haven't been here in a while. He said, but how do you know my language so well? Then he looked at me. Back then, my hair wasn't quite this white. It used to be red. He said, wait a minute. You're that red-headed fellow from Pangaea. I've heard about you. I said, yeah, that's me. I'll be the one. I was the only redhead ever there. And I began to talk to him a little bit. And next thing I knew, a crowd was gathering because they heard me speaking to this man. And I had probably 200 Widu people gathered around me in a semicircle around me, my back to the wall. Boy, if this isn't an opportunity to preach, I don't know what is. I began to preach to them.
Amen.
As I began to preach, I got a few minutes into it, and a gal came. She was probably in her 20s somewhere. And she come walking, pushing her way through that crowd. And she come up, and just like I said last night, those folks in Kenya did, she hugged me. And she began to say, Kewanuku, 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 Kinungo, Kewanuku, Kinungo. Thank you, white man. Thank you, white man. And as I stood there, I said, I don't know who this is. Who's this woman hugging me and saying thank you? And she gets all done. She's tears rolling down her face. And I said, young lady, I said, I'm sorry, but I don't know you. Why are you thanking me? And she said, missionary, you don't know me, but I know you. She said, do you remember coming to the Widu Baptist Church and building an addition on the church? And the church was packed out and we had to put an addition on, and you'd work on the church during the day and then preach at night? I said, I remember that very well. She said, if you didn't notice, there wasn't any kids in that congregation. She said, they made the kids stay outside. Only adults could sit inside because it just wasn't room. She said, one night, you were preaching. And she said, as an 8-year-old girl, she said, I got down on the ground and I got next to the wall, right up close to the pulpit. And I put my ear to the wall and I was listening to you preach the gospel. And she said, for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she said, I cried out to Jesus Christ from the depths of my soul, and he saved my soul. And missionary, I just want to say thank you for telling me about Jesus. Folks, I've had that happen so many times, it ain't funny. I'm here to tell you, man, when they get their eyes open, things change. That's what we got to do, man. Get their eyes open so they can see. Listen, the things they need to see, amen, their condition. There might be somebody here tonight. You need to see your condition. Would you listen to God while I'm preaching, while the Word of God's being spoken? Would you listen to God and let the Holy Ghost of God speak to your heart? You need your eyes open, man. Ask him. Yeah. God, I can't see it clearly. Won't you show me? He'll show you your condition. He'll show you just how far lost you are, how close you are to hell. And if you think a preacher can do it, you wait till God does it. He'll hang you out over hell on a spider web and say, buddy, you're about to fry. You ready? And I've watched people reject God and the fire web broke. He'll show you your condition. You know that book says we are in Christ's stead. We're to be ambassadors. We have his authority.
That's right.
Amen. All through this book, but especially Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you all the way even to the end of the world. Amen. Yeah. Mark 16:15, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, you can go on and on. The very command that we have here, Paul, God gave Paul to go to the Gentile. What are we? Any Jews in here? I didn't think so. It's our job to win our people. I forget which great missionary said this, but he said this, it's the job of every Christian in every age to win every person on the planet. Mm. How else are they going to hear if we don't open their eyes?
Yeah, that's
They need to be open, have their eyes open to their condition. They need to have their eyes open to their collapse without Christ. You die without Christ, you're not going to be playing cards with your buddies.
That's right.
That's right.
You're not going to be drinking beer with your buddies.
That's right.
I'm sorry to tell you, but you're going to be frying in heat so hot, you would to God you'd have listened when God spoke to you.
That's right.
You're going to collapse in hell forever. And you won't be just burned up. You've got inside you an eternal soul that's going to feel the flames and the torments forever and ever and ever and ever and ever if you die lost.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then they need to have their eyes open to their coming judgment. Hebrews 9:27 said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." We will stand before God. The book says in Romans, I believe, or 2 Corinthians, whichever, but it says this, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God."
Yes.
Need to be awakened and need to have eyes open to the fact that judgment's coming. A lot of Christians today living like there's no judgment.
Yeah.
Now listen, I do believe this. The Bible says there is no fear. We have no fear in judgment because perfect love casts out fear.
That's right.
You live your life for Jesus Christ, you can get through the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not super spiritual enough to tell you you ain't going to get through and make it a little bit of ash. But if you'll live your life for Jesus Christ, you will receive reward. He promises that. And then they need to have their eyes open to the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. You ever see anybody get under conviction and have some well-meaning soul winner do something and shrug that conviction off? Some of the old-timers, man, they'd come forward and get down to the altar, and somebody come up with, and they'd have their hand already, kind of like a, you know, a bird getting ready, you know. They have their hand up as they're coming down the aisle and get about right there. And they say, "Leave them alone. Let the Holy Ghost deal with them.
Amen.
Let God save them. He's right in the birth canal right now." You know, there's one thing. I was there when that one was born. I got two more. I was there when they were born. You know what I noticed? They didn't need me to get born.
Yep.
It just kind of happened, preacher. I know we got to give them, you got to open their eyes, you got to point them in the right direction, but bless God, when it's time for them to get saved, they'll get saved whether you're there or not. God can do the work.
That's right.
So the Holy Ghost comes and convicts them. Now, you'll be okay. It's all right. Just pray. It's fine. Just really? Maybe they won't be all right. Maybe God's still got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if we quit trying to help God, God would do it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not preaching don't have an altar call. I'm not preaching don't go soul winning. Good night, I do it all the time. But bless God, have enough spirituality in you to know when God's dealing with somebody, and if they need a little help, tell them what the conviction of the Holy Ghost is. I've seen people get under conviction, and people get, what? Excuse you away. You know what you're doing there? Just like that other fellow, you're making them twofold more the child of hell.
Yeah.
Chase them away when God's trying to put them under.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have an idea what's going on. This is a spiritual battle, and they need to know, amen, they've got an enemy of their soul who wants to damn and doom them to hell, and they need to know that there's a God with a Holy Ghost, amen, that'll save them, amen, and put them in heaven. Help them to understand what's going on when God brings them under conviction. And then just kind of let God.
That's right.
Amen. I've had a bunch of them, man. I get up here. I want to help God out, you know. I'm going to give them all, give them whole load. First one I ever did that with, my pastor looked at me and said, "Well, you'd have been fine if you'd have been a truck driver." He said, "But you'd have failed the test." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you dumped the whole load at once." He said, man, God's got to get in there somehow. God's dealing with him. He's like, God, deal with him a little bit. Let him soak, man, under conviction. Oh, they squirm. They're supposed to. Remember that crowd over there in Acts 19? Paul asked them if they've been baptized and all that with the Holy Ghost. He said, we ain't even heard there's been a Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? Listen, people don't know. It's our job to educate them. Why? So they get their eyes open. You get your eyes open, come face to face with God. I'm going to tell you something. Something's going to happen.
That's right.
Amen. See, most of our work is to that right there. Open their eyes. And then turn them from darkness to light. Yeah. Without eyes open, man, they can't get anywhere.
That's right.
They need their eyes open to the cleansing power of the blood. Take your Bible, go to 1 John. 1 John 1. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I had a lady in New Guinea. She was the first adult that got saved in our ministry there. I have video. Christy went with us up to Pangaea where we had been. My wife and I and Christy and another missionary brother picked us up in town, took us in there. And as I pulled up there, the first day, we met one of our preacher boys. Come Sunday, I went up to preach. And sitting on the lawn was this gal. Her name is Nakiyami. Nakiyami's the first adult to get saved in the ministry there. You know what? She had been told by religionists, well-meaning folks, that she could not be saved because she had committed the unpardonable sin. I said, really, what is that? She said, divorce. My soul. I didn't know this, but she told me that day. She said, that day you preached, she said, you said God would forgive me and the blood of Jesus Christ would take away any sin. She said, you named off a few and divorced with one of them. I said, I didn't remember that. I don't normally list off a few because he'll forgive them all.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But she heard me say it, so I okay. The cleansing power of the blood. Sitting there on that lawn 20 years later is a grandma holding her grandbaby. She was the first generation Christian. Her daughter stood behind her. Her name was Sarah. My daughter Sarah led her to the Lord. And she was saved, and sitting there was grandma holding Sarah's baby. Three generations.
Amen.
They need to know that the blood still saves.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And it's not in anything you can do or I can do. Amen. It's in the blood.
That's right.
They need to know that there's a change from darkness to light. My people would give their testimony. And I got where I could give it for them. When we did Faith Promise one time, I got so burdened because it's always the same thing. Anybody got a testimony yet? And they give their testimony salvation. That's what they give. And I could tell you what they were going to say. I had one fella, he'd stand up and say, yeah, I got saved, you know, September 9th, 1999. Brother Cliff was preaching. I was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things come new, you know. And I'm down, and I could give it for them. Brother, they knew it. They knew. Amen. Listen, you know one thing I didn't have to teach my people in New Guinea when they got saved? I didn't have to teach them to put clothes on. And listen, we're talking about bush people that were naked. They get saved, first thing you do, put clothes on. I didn't have to tell them, Brother John. Ain't that something? I had a guy that he was getting ready to get baptized. Owl was his name. And I got a picture of him standing on a rock like this. White shirt and blue jeans. He came to me and he said, Brother Cliff, I need to make some money. He's a little old man.
About that high.
I need to make some money. I said, what do you need to make money for, Al? I need to buy some new clothes. Some used clothes. Well, he had a vest from the three-piece suit. No joke, it looked like MacArthur gave it to him in World War II. It was pure grease. And he had a grass skirt, and that's all he had. And he came to me, and he said, I need to buy some clothes. I need to get some used clothes over at the used clothing store. I said, why do you need to get the used clothes, Al? He said, well, I want to get baptized. I said, you know, Al, it's not in the clothes. He said, I know, but he said, I want to know, when I come up out of that water, I've been made a new man by Christ over here, and I'm just testifying to it right here, and I want to know that, and I want to see a clean man.
Mm, that's good.
Man, I told the pastor of the church, and that guy had more clothes than he could carry home. Amen. They need to know, man, there's a change. They need to meet, amen, awakened and have their eyes open to the consciousness of God. You know, that's where America is right now. Brother, back in the day when we started, I mean, you could go down on the street corner and talk to somebody about God in a little bit of time, and they would truly get saved. I mean, no hard time to it. But you know why? They had a consciousness of God. We are at least five generations removed in this country from people knowing about God.
Yes.
1963, Madeline Murray O'Hare got the Bible kicked out of the public realm of our country when they kicked it out of the school. One wicked woman.
Amen.
And since then, now go ahead and go down to school and try to preach. See what happens to you. Man, they'll have, you know, nice little silver bracelets on you before you can blink an eye. And have you in the back of a little car, amen, with bars around it, taking you down to a padded room. Amen. That's America, folks. Yet in New Guinea, you can walk into any school in the country, pass out Bibles. Pass out gospel literature. Stand there and preach. Kids will listen. Get saved. They need to have a conscience about God. Amen. And lastly, I'll say this. I only got another hour and I'll be done. No, I'm kidding. They need to know about the commencement of heaven. Listen, folks, it ain't going to be long. We know our Bibles. It ain't going to be long. You look at what's going on right now, and it's a precursor for what that book puts in as the last time. Yeah. And it's coming. And it ain't far off. They need to know, man, that there is a heaven. Amen. And there is a hell. And they need to know how to escape it. Amen. And go to heaven. They need to understand it. Listen, man, the judgment's coming. Which way do you want to go through the judgment? Up or down? I had a fellow down Southern PA that I worked for. And I walked up to him. One of his buddies had just died, and I said to him, I called him Bugsy. I said, Bugs, what would you have done if that was you? He fell through a 16-foot-high steel building and down onto a concrete floor. Just, that was it. I said, Bugs, where would you have gone if that had been you? He said, well, I hope I go where I want to go, I do. You hope you go where you want to go, you do. I said, well, where do you want to go? He said, well, you know, up. I said, you don't know you're going up? No. Didn't know anybody could. A deacon, brother, in a Methodist church over 50 years. I was standing in the Methodist church parking lot where he was the deacon. His house was over across the parking lot. I said, Bugs, what would you do if I told you I'd get my Bible and show you how you could know beyond a shadow of a doubt?
Amen.
You're on your way. I'll get my Bible. He went off to his truck, got his Bible, come back, took his Bible, had him read it, showed it to him. And before I could get done, man, he's got his head down, he is praying. I didn't tell him to pray. I didn't tell him he had to. I just showed him some verses, man. Next thing I know, he's praying. He looks up at me, and man, he just, his eyeballs are about that big around. His face is lit up. He says, "There, I done it, I did. Praise God, I'm going to heaven, yeah!" I mean, and he got in right there. And he didn't just make a prayer. He got in. He started coming to church. He got in church. Amen. He served God faithfully for years. Even through some shaking of the boat. Amen. He stayed faithful to God.
That's good. Amen.
Listen, folks. This thing's real. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Tomorrow night we'll look at that thing about turning from darkness to light. Tonight, would you realize, would you listen, if your eyes can't see the darkness, you better ask God to open them up. Because the darkness is real. And there's people in the darkness. You might be one of them. If you are, you need out of the darkness. You need your eyes open. If you can't see, ask God for some vision to see what's real, to see what's needed, to see what you've got to do. Listen, God knows your every thought. He knows your heart. He can tell you. He can put his finger right on you. On your heart, say, right there is the problem. Take care of that right here. God can show you. Would you let him tonight? Christian, you know somebody in darkness. I've never met a sorrier soul than somebody in darkness who can't see. Folks get hurt in the dark. And they get hurt bad. I'll close this illustration. I was out in the desert, stationed out there in the Air Force, high desert. And one night, me and several fellows were out walking around, and they have a blackout hour where the satellites were flying over, and we weren't even allowed to light a match. But we had to walk from place to place sometimes, and we were walking across the ramp, and there was a great big metro van sitting there. You know what I'm talking about? Like a red van, a great big, like Strowman's red van, you know, sitting there. And the guy right next to me walked right into it. Face first, you couldn't see it. I mean, boom! Fell on the ground. We had to feel around to pick him up. I was that far from it myself. Why? It was dark. Didn't have a light. Had our eyes wide open. There was no stars. You couldn't see a thing. I don't like walking around when I can't see. I'm a child of light. How about you? You know somebody that's in the dark? How about helping them open their eyes? Give them the light of the glorious gospel. Give them the light of God's word. I mean, sit with them. Invest you in them. See, it's boring just walking up to them and say, 1, 2, 3, come follow me. Invest you in them. Take this book. And you sow the seed in them. The seed will do the job. The light will come on. Their eyes will get open. If we just do our part. Father, best to know how to do what you told me to do tonight. Lord, I pray it's been a help and blessing. And God, I pray you'd help us to see, Lord, clearly the need of those around us. God, give us the wisdom to deal with them. Give us the wisdom to take your word and put the seed, the word of God, in them, Lord, so you can sow in their hearts. And God, so you can begin work in them that will bring them to salvation. God, that will bring them to, Lord, a life lived for you. God, I'm sure glad. God, I'm sure glad that almost 50 years ago, Brother Campbell gave me the seed. That seed resonated, boy. It was there all along. Boy, when that thing finally came to fruition, Lord, everything turned around. And I want to thank you, Lord, for life lived for you. God, help your people tonight, I pray. And Lord, if there's one here who doesn't know you, God, please take the seed of the Word of God. sow it down deep, Lord. Root it down where the enemy can't snatch it. And Lord, bring it to fruition in our